Let me ask you this question as we start out. How do you feel about suffering?
Rather not.
Yes, I'm planning something for you. How do you feel about suffering? Do what? Bad, okay. Not typically something we look forward to, is it? I mean, if somebody, you know, comes along and says, hey, you know, how would you like to suffer today? Then chances are we would deny that opportunity, right? Okay. During the sermons, yes, yes. Yes, I understand that. That's why I'm not going to be here again next week. I'll let you suffer under somebody else. Chuck. Okay, been there and done that, okay? All right. Yeah, the afterwards, it's not so bad, is it? You know, it's the going through it part that, you know, and of course, as we've talked about many times before, you know, the longer that we're suffering and struggling with something, the more difficult it is to hang on, isn't it? You know, we get frustrated and all those kinds of things and so forth. But let me ask you a different question, slightly different question. How do you feel about suffering for Christ? Okay. Okay. Not something that we oftentimes think about, though, is it? And, you know, truth be known, if we could, we'd a whole lot rather avoid it, wouldn't we? Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." Okay, that's that part that Willie was referring to in his prayer. We know about without addition or subtraction, right? In its fullness. Okay, and he says, "The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me." To rejoice in what was suffered for you, Paul says. How much suffering did Paul have to endure in his work in preaching the gospel? Over and over and over and over again, wasn't it? Do what?
He ended up giving it all.
He did. What was his motivation, though? Notice what he says here. Hold on just a second here, Ray. Notice what he says. "I rejoice in what was suffered for you and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." Why? "For the sake of his body, which is the church." Okay? So there's a reason that Paul expresses here that he was suffering. And that was for the sake of the church. What is his meaning there? Have you ever really thought about it, folks, on these, for the sake of the church? Ray, you had a comment?
I was thinking that it all started on the road to Damascus.
Okay.
When Christ spoke to him and said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul had to immediately make a decision. Christ gave him that decision because he blinded.
Okay.
And then he had to go and to the master, and he had to be taught.
Okay.
But he stayed blind until he was taught. And he had to obey the gospel. He had to go there and move on.
Okay.
But Christ also mentioned that I can't think. It might have been the 9th chapter, somewhere around, and Acts, where he said he's going to
suffer.
Suffer. You know, see what it's like. He had to suffer for my sake.
Yeah.
And that's what he had to do.
Okay.
Are we any better? We're going to have to do some suffering ourselves.
Okay.
Everything is not going to be a pair of roses. It's not going to be peaches and cream. It's not going to be any of those things. Sometimes we have to do things, or we're going to go through things. And I think when we go through them, it helps make us better for it.
Okay.
We have to.
Mm-hmm.
And we be made better for it. And I'm thankful.
Okay.
I know I've done some myself, but that's okay.
All right. Brian?
A couple of things that just hit me while you were reading that is that the first thing, the church grew quite a bit.
Okay.
Quickly. But it took a lot of suffering for that to occur. The willingness to suffer is the point of giving it all. And I look at today's time, we do not know nearly suffer what Paul and those suffered like that. And are we willing to suffer as much as they are for Christ's church?
Okay.
That might be one of the big differences between the times. What we're willing to suffer with right now, what they were willing to suffer with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
Greg, to your original question, if I remember correctly, you were asking why you think Paul is willing to suffer?
Mm-hmm. What's his motivation?
Okay, figure out his motivation. My thought went similar to what Ray said, that we're back to Paul being on the road to the master, but before that, he already had the determination of what he believed in to continue to do everything in his power to do what he thought was right. It was when he was on the road with the Master that he realized that he was going in the wrong direction.
Right.
And that, to me, seemed like more or less affirmed it or made the picture clear to him. And of course, yes, he did suffer. But he more or less had an experience, a life-changing experience, that made him realize, okay, now I see more clearly what I'm fighting for, what I need to do. And it strengthened him. That gave him more of a motivation. I mean, he had the motivation in the beginning, I believe, because when he was persecuting the Christians, he was doing it to the first that he could.
Right.
But that just clarified it for him and gave him more of a reason. And I think, like what they said, once we go through something and come out good, that strengthens us.
Right.
And it makes us realize, okay, this is what we're working for. This is what I'm trying to
do. Okay. You go back and you look at where Paul came from, and when you're talking about this suffering for the sake of the church, wasn't it his background that really was a major source of the suffering that he went through. And so when you look at his background and where he came from, and then you look at his mission, in other words, where he was going, it was a perfect storm, so to speak, for him to be persecuted. Because he wasn't going to be accepted any longer by the Jews, which, you know, he was a very prominent part of Jewish religious society. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he said of himself. But he was no longer accepted by them because he's accepted this Christianity thing. And now he's trying to teach Jewish Christians to accept Gentiles. And he had problems doing that, didn't he? Because even those Jews who had accepted Christ didn't want to accept Paul's mission, which was to reach out to the Gentiles. Okay. So all of that is for the sake of the church, that is, that people would be taught the gospel and be brought to the Lord, thus building the church. But there was Paul right in the middle of it all. Okay. So if you think about that aspect of it, what is it that we can and should be able to relate to today that would cause us to be in a position like Paul, where we are suffering? Dolores?
Well, for one thing, people don't forget where you came from.
Okay.
Especially, you know, people that are close to you and
right.
talk to them about the Lord. They're not going to forget it.
Okay.
So it's a constant battle, you know, and especially when you try to change places that you go, people that
mm-hmm.
you be around.
It's
a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think you're so much better than the rest of us now?
Yeah, they don't understand.
You see? Yeah. Okay, good. What else?
I think even other churches don't, or I should say other denominations, don't always accept our beliefs.
Okay.
Or I really should say what Christ really expects of them, and so when you want to correct them, it's like, so you think you're the only ones that gonna go to heaven, you know, those type of comments. And the world itself is not easy to teach anymore. A lot of people don't even want to go there. You begin to talk about it and you don't want to hear that, you know, or I'm an atheist, or and people sometimes don't want to associate with you. We may lose even family members because of our faith for Christ and the church. You lose friends. You definitely lose friends. I think in a way we also suffer.
Right.
You know, it's not easy, especially when your own family members would turn against you because of it.
Okay.
And brought into mind a lady that we had here, and if I remember right, it's Cherry and Peggy that she came here, and because she became a Christian, her husband left her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we do suffer.
Yeah. But yet we have not, as the scriptures tell us, resisted to the point of shedding blood.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think part of the issue needs to be for us to really look at ourselves, each one of us, and to say, okay, how much suffering am I really willing to go through for the sake of Christ? See? You know, there are people around the world who still today are losing their lives because of Christ. They are suffering and shedding blood because of Christ. But for most of us here, we might lose some family members or friends, or, you know, we might lose a job. Anybody lost their job over their faith yet? How about their business? You know, that's happened to a lot of people across the country. There are military members whose careers have been ruined because of their faith. They have suffered in that way. Okay. But I'm afraid that too often, you know, we get comfortable with our lives and we consider suffering for the cause of Christ of having to get up a little bit earlier because it's Sunday morning to be, you know, at Bible class or worship on time. When I have to give up, you know, my Sunday evening for this or for that or whatever, and that's suffering. That's not suffering. But yet I'm afraid there are too many church folks who see it that way. You know, I'm having to give up something for me that I want or like or whatever, you know, for this or that. And I guess part of what I'm saying is for most of us, we don't really know what suffering for the sake of Christ really is.
That's right, Father. And that's, you know, a very dangerous position to be in. Because if you don't fall or stand up for something, you fall for anything,
yeah.
And again, we are privileged to know what Christ, Paul, and all the others in the early church had to go to be who they are. And here we are on this side of the cross with those blessings, with that knowledge, with that encouragement, with that guidance, with the instruction. Everything that we need to have to equip us for what we need to do. And if it means something in the real sense, not because, oh, someone hurt my feelings, someone said a bad thing about me, or it's inconvenient, or I'm feeling ill, you're right. That is not suffering.
Yeah.
That is not suffering. What Paul went through, what Christ went through, there would be. That is suffering.
See, it's easy for us, you know, we look at it and say, well, today, you know, we have this, today we have that. Here in America, we don't have anybody today that I'm aware of that's, you know, been dragged into the Colosseum and put before the lions or, you know, been poured tar over and used as a street lamp and, you know, those kinds of gruesome things that Christians suffered back then. See? Let me ask you this, right? Hold on with just a moment here. Let me ask you this. And don't just, you know, oh yeah. Think about this, okay? Before you raise your hand. How many of you would truly be able to, you know, say, along with Paul, this statement? I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Anybody got a problem with that part? Now, we all want that, right? And the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. Becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3:10-11. I mean, that's a passage that, you know, we're familiar with and we just kind of read through and, you know, we talk about suffering. We're going, oh yeah, Paul. But honestly, do you really want to know Christ that way? Or is it just, you know, the right spiritual answer to give? You see what I'm saying? I'm just challenging you to really think about that. Do you really want to know Him that way? To share in His sufferings and conform to His death. Okay? Judy and then Wes.
Well, I think down, we really, and I'm speaking from my standpoint here right now, is that I really want to reach that part, but I'm afraid I won't be able to.
Okay.
You know, especially depending on what I have to face. And I pray all the time that my faith would be strong enough to stand firm if I would be confronted with something like this.
Okay.
Do I think I am there? No.
Okay.
But then again, I don't know what I would do in a situation like that.
Okay? Well, just hang on to that thought for a minute, because I'm going to give you a way to at least for us to evaluate and see how willing we are. Wes?
I was thinking similar to the same way as you was thinking, that I think everybody really wants to, you know, they, in their mind, they are like that. They say, yes, mm-hmm. I want to do that. But we're just like, even when you get confronted with it, you're scared to actually stand up for the fear of, at that point, of losing your life, especially when you see what's happening to the person in front of you, and then you go, you're next. He's like, oh, no. Well, can we talk about this? But I feel the same way that she was saying, too, because sometimes I think about, I would like to feel like I not don't want to be no hero, no daddy famous, but do I have the courage if a building was running, could I run in the building to save somebody? If I see somebody drowning, would I jump in the water? I think I can swim, but getting out there in that water, you know, is a different story when you're right in it.
Right.
You know, do I have the courage to actually be in it, put myself in it in harm's way, so to speak? And it makes me think back to the lesson you brought to us about being a fan or being a follower.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree with her too. Like, yeah,
okay.
We want to, and we think we are.
All right.
I think everybody think they are, but we just don't want to be confronted with it because we think we're going to do wrong.
All right. Okay. Ray, you had a comment a moment ago.
No, I was just wondering that a little bit. You're saying that anybody ever lost a job, because I was looking at the news one time, and this guy who was a dynamic baker. Mm-hmm. These two guys wanted
to
cake.
Yeah.
And put two men, he refused to do it.
Yep.
He said, no, I don't do it. You know. And I'm, you know, that's not the only thing. I was looking at, what's the name of that program? Coming on every day. Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady. Let's make a deal. Thank you. I couldn't believe it. He waited till the end of the show, and he was going to marry two men. He married the two men, and he... I said, well, I don't think I'm going to be seeing this anymore.
Watch that program anymore.
I tell you the truth, I mean, they do anything now. On TV, they don't care who see it. They just don't have any morals whatsoever, thank you. And this stuff come out the closet and need to go back in the closet. Get the door. And put a nail on the door.
Paper
dot. I don't know how. They just want everybody to accept what they do. I'm not going to accept it. No.
Well, and as we've talked about, that's the tip of the spear of the culture war that we are in the midst of. By the way, I think most of you know this. I've lost 3 jobs because of standing up for the truth. And those were in churches. Okay. Now, we talked about this idea of, you know, I think I can, but what about when it comes to somebody saying, you know, okay, you either deny Christ or we're going to take your life, you know. In other words, the whole idea of dying, okay, he says being conformed to his death, and okay, all right, well, I could lose a job. Some of the friends that I have don't need them anyway, so I don't mind losing some of them. Maybe some of my family members, I don't mind losing them either, you know. But my life, you're talking about taking my life. But wait a minute. You want to know how you can figure out whether you do that or not? Isn't that what Jesus calls upon us to do to begin with? when he says, anyone who does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me, what is he talking about there? We've talked about this before. What was the one and only purpose of a cross? Crosses were made for execution. They were designed for people to die on. And Jesus used that as his calling card. For those who would follow him, he says, you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to die for me. And yet, how many of us struggle with just dying to ourselves and getting ourselves out of the way so that he can really, truly rule in our lives? Well, we're not willing to give up this or that or what have you, knowing that we need to because it's not the way that I should be living as a Christian, but we're not willing to die to ourselves spiritually, let alone being willing to give up our physical life for him. See? That's something that we really seriously need to look at. You see? How willing are we to really die to ourselves in that way? In our marriages? And in our parenting, and in our childrening, okay? In our jobs. You know, when that coworker is being a real pain in the neck, and, you know, we just as soon shoot him in the face with a bazooka as we would have to look at him anymore. What about the neighbor who's always causing problems for you? You know, how do we respond to that? We're not even talking about the neighbor who comes over and says, deny Christ or I'll shoot you. We're just talking about the neighbor who's being a real pain in the neck and really difficult to live with. And yet, what does Jesus tell us to do? Help me out here.
Forgive them and love them.
Yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't want to love him. You know how bad he is of a neighbor? You know? And we look at, you know, our spouses who are being a real pain and, you know, not doing what we want or what have you. And, man, I've got to continue to love them? Husbands, man, I've got to love them like Christ loved the church? Well, if she starts being submissive to me, then I'll start loving her. And the wives say, I don't want to be submissive to that. There ain't no way. See, are we willing to die to ourselves and do what he says to do anyway? Dale, you had your hand up a moment ago. Just let that sink in a little bit.
I was going to say, yeah, we take that verse metaphorically, taking up our cross, following him. After Jesus was crucified in John 21, he pretty much told Peter that he was going to die by crucifixion.
Yeah.
So Peter at that point had a choice to make. He's like, yeah, God, he's already told me the end I'm going to meet if I continue down this path. So he had to choose that for real, not just dying, but being crucified. So that must have been a difficult choice. For most of us, it's a theoretical possibility.
Mm-hmm.
For him, he knew what
was coming.
I was just thinking about, yes, Jesus died for us, but I think it goes deeper than that. You look at God, who gave up his only son to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I look at this from the standpoint as a parent. And you have to stand up to your children that you are not going to condone whatever it is that they're doing and the heartache that comes with that. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It is very difficult. It would be so easy to say, do what you want, and I approve of this. But to have to stand there and It rips your heart out.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is suffering.
Okay.
And I think for God to have done what he has done for me, you have to count that as blessings to be able to do that.
Yeah.
To have that strength to go through that.
And how willing am I then to do for him what he calls upon me to do? Just
exactly.
Obey his word.
Exactly.
Well, but again, but Lord, you don't understand how bad this person is. You don't understand what they've done to me. You tell me I've got to forgive them? Yes. Sure he does. But we think he doesn't, you see, because we know better. You see? And we make all those kind of excuses. And instead of doing what he tells us to do, which, by the way, would be better for us if we would just do what he says,
right?
You say, but we're not willing to die that way to ourselves. That's right.
So many times we're willing that the Spirit can be. Now scriptures tell us that we have to pray without ceasing. Perhaps that is the only way to pray without ceasing.
It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. That's some hands up here. Chuck, and then somebody else over here. Brian? Chuck? Okay. Chuck, and then Brian. Let's go down the back there.
Sorrow and an unceasing anguish.
We don't want that feeling in our heart, but because it hurts, you know. You have people that you love, that you want to accept Christ, and it hurts you in the heart, and we don't like to feel that way. And so, you know, do we let that kind of tuck that away? You know, he kept his book, it was unceasingly. That pain in his heart that he loved so much for everyone to know Christ. That's just.
Yeah. And so what are you willing to die to? What do you need to die to in order that that person might come to know the Lord? Ready? Brian? Like comparing the splinter we have in our finger to the person who has lost an arm or a leg, you know, we had to go, oh, I'm suffering just like they are. I don't have a clue. But, you know, it's the everyday kinds of things that I think get us caught up, and we just struggle with actually dying to ourselves. You know, again, you know, when Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, but wait a minute, I want him to suffer the way I suffered. He did this to me. I want to pay him back. And we don't realize, Chuck, that maybe by me dying to myself and letting God take care of that, that maybe this person who's hurt me will be brought to the Lord somehow. But not if I don't die to myself. And I insist on, you know, revenge or vengeance or, you know, whatever. And I don't want to do what God tells me to do so often. And I keep coming back to this over and over again. We talk about it, the whole issue of forgiveness, because that's something that most Christians struggle with. I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I don't want to because they hurt me so bad. And what we ultimately don't realize is that when we refuse to forgive, we're forfeiting our own soul. You know, so we're not willing to die to ourselves, and we're putting ourselves in jeopardy of dying eternally because we won't die to ourselves. Okay? Wayne?
I think we're not willing to give up comfort.
Yeah.
Back in the mid to late 90s, I was able to take small groups to Cuba. Well, my own prominent preacher called me and asked about it, and I said, he said, well, how is it? And I said, well, I was surprised that the Cuban people accepted me, being a North American, even more surprised how receptive they were to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's not really what I want
yeah.
to know. Now, what are your accommodations?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the food like?
Yeah,
you know.
My small group, we're staying with a young preacher and his wife in a two-bedroom house. If on this trip I have a husband and wife, they get the other bedroom. If I don't have a husband and wife, two women get it. I sleep on the floor every night. I take up my mattress every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I get up at 5 o'clock to get a shower before everybody else does. And, oh, by the way, there's no hot water. And he said, sound like you're roughing it.
We going camping or are we going on a mission trip?
I said, I think anybody do that for a couple of weeks. He said, well, my ideal for roughing it is motel with black and white television. And yeah, I thought, please don't ask to go with me because I'm going to tell you you can't go. But would he be willing to suffer if he's not willing to give up some comfort?
Nope.
And I had
and that's the problem.
Me to go.
Yeah.
When they found out we were going, they tried to keep it sort of quiet. And then the Cuban government stepped in and said you can only bring two or three at a time. But it just shocked me that this man felt that way.
Yep. All right, we're out of time. I want you to think about and just please, Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, let that kind of, you know, brew a little bit in your heart and your mind. And we'll pick up here next week. All right? Thank you all very much.